Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Thursday, July 6, 2023. Okay, it's 9:52 in the evening Eastern Time. Markets had a down day, concerned about a strong labor report. We'll see what's going on there. Twitter is accusing Facebook, also known as Meta, of stealing trade secrets in relation to its new highly successful Threads app. We'll see what's going on with that. We also have looks like some big movie blockbusters like The Flash and Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny are going to be suffering huge losses. So we'll see what's going on over in that front. And today I'm going to continue on with bonds, talking about corporate bonds, also what are known as convertible bonds. Okay, so first of all, the market. We had a big labor report come out today for the month of June. The market's expected that the U.S. economy would add 279,000 jobs for the month of June. Number came out at 497,000, and the markets did not like that. We had the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 1.07%, S&P 500 down 0.79%, NASDAQ Composite down 0.82%. For the week, although Tuesday markets were closed, but so far for Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, we got the Dow down 1.4% for the week, S&P 500 down 0.9%, NASDAQ Composite down 0.8%. So why would the markets not like hearing that the U.S. economy, labor market is strong with twice as many jobs being created, almost twice as many as was expected? Well, the reason the markets are now afraid that this is going to lead to continued higher inflation and that the Federal Reserve will continue to raise interest rates, try to slow the economy down. Markets don't like higher interest rates. Companies have to spend more money to borrow, and you have investors sell stocks to buy bonds with the relatively higher rates that would be paid there. So for many companies, I've talked about this before, labor is its biggest expense. Labor could be 40 to 60% of a company's total expenses, particularly when you add in benefits. And in a tight labor market, the way to attract workers and retain the ones you have are to increase wages. And for many companies, since wages are its biggest expense, it then passes on the cost to consumers in higher prices. This is inflation. So that's why the market does not like that. Now, tomorrow, Friday morning, we've got a payroll report coming out. Market will want to take a look at average hourly wages. Okay, so the market's next focus will now move into corporate earnings. Starting next week, we move into earnings season, happens every 3 months. The first earnings that will come in will be the banks. Their financials a little more straightforward. Put together, the market wants to see not only how corporate earnings look, but what comments companies make about the future. All right, so that's what we got going on there. Okay, so I guess Facebook, Meta, they got this new app out called Threads. Some of you may have heard of it. It's number one on the Apple App Store for the last couple of days. I just checked, it still is. It's an alternative to Twitter, and it signed up 30 million users the very first day, which is like outstanding. So basically, it's definitely gotten Twitter's attention. So it says here, Elon Musk, you know, owns Twitter. His longtime attorney, Alex Spiro, wrote a letter to Meta on Wednesday accusing the company of willful misappropriation of trade secrets. All right. Basically, they are warning Facebook, Meta, they need to stop. I guess they're hoping they'll shut the whole thing down, which is not going to happen. But basically, Twitter's lawyer wrote a letter to Meta, you know, Facebook, accusing the company of systematic and unlawful misappropriation of trade secrets following the launch of its Threads service. The letter alleges that Meta's new Twitter clone was built by former Twitter employees, deliberately assigned to develop a copycat app. I'm quoting from the letter. All right. They didn't offer specific examples. but then Meta fired right back, and this is a quote from them. No one on the Threads engineering team is a former Twitter employee. That's just not a thing. All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. That might be for the courts to decide. But yeah, apparently this Threads app is doing really, really well. I think particularly, I guess last weekend, Twitter said they were limiting how many like tweets people could look at. And I guess people are just looking ready for an alternative. And this new Threads app has come along at just the right time. Okay, over in the movie, over there in the movie sector, I just saw The Flash went over $100 million today, U.S. box office, which is good, except it's been out for 3 weeks. It's brought in so far $148 million, you know, international box office, and it's brought $100 U.S., so $248 million. But the movie cost like $375 million, I think I saw to make and market. Discovery Warner put the movie out. It's probably going to be suffering big losses with this one. Well, they will be suffering big losses. Disney released Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny. They're not doing much better over there. I heard the movie's really not that bad. I mean, Flash movie, I liked it. I saw it. I haven't seen the Indiana Jones one yet. But yeah, the issue here, that one may be lucky to end up at $250 million box office. Apparently, this one cost almost $400 million to make and market. $298 million to make, another $100 million to market, which is interesting. I saw a number for the very first Indiana Jones movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Steven Spielberg made that one years ago. When you adjust what his budget was to today's dollars, for $60 million. And yet, we got this one coming in at a production budget of $298 million plus $100 million to market. Part of the reason for the high budgets for these movies, some of them, it's part due to COVID shutdown. You know, it takes years for a movie to go from first development to actually being released. So that's part of it. But yeah, it looks like they're going to be suffering some big losses. So why do we look at box office so much? Well, I've talked about this before. Years ago, I had a small part, usually as a peon part, but I was part of a very small part of the funding of some really big movies, including multiple Academy Award winners. I still have the original paperwork put away, but again, I was just a small little part of it. But anyway, but I was a part of it. Well, the models haven't changed that much from back in the day, just some of the details, but here's how it works, why we look at box office. Whatever a movie makes in the box office, the movie company gets about half that, and the theaters get the other half. So back in our day, if we had a movie made $100 million in the box office, we would get around $50 million. We would then release it on pay-per-view, and we'd get money brought in from that. We would then release it on home media back in the day, usually DVDs, today Blu-rays, 4K Blu-rays. But anyway, we'd bring money in for that. We would then release it, you know, we'd sell it to like HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, or somebody, bring in money there. We then would sell it to network TV, like ABC Television, whatever, brought in money there. And eventually network TV, local TV, not network, but local TV, bring in money there. So whatever our half of the box office was, in this case, $50 million, we tended to bring that in again from the other sources. It brought us back up to box office. Now, the model works about the same today. It's just today, you know, not as much of the money comes in from, you know, Blu-ray sales as it once did. A lot more comes from streaming and, you know, things like that. And, you know, that's a concern also among these big movie companies. You know, are they, is the box office suffering for some of these movies because people are figuring, well, I'll just wait a couple of months and watch it on a streaming service at home. So, you know, that's definitely a factor. There's no doubt that there are many people probably thinking about how many of them are there. See, that's the thing. All right, so anyway, but that's why we look at box office. But then, you know, box office is sales. So then we got to look at expenses. And, you know, these movies look like they're going to be suffering some big, big losses. So we'll have to see going forward if these budgets just stay at those levels or it's more to COVID shutdown. You know, what these big companies start doing going forward. So, all right, so we had that news. Okay, so talking about bonds, continuing on about bonds, corporate bonds, all right, pretty straightforward. It's a loan to a corporation instead of a government. So instead of lending to the United States government or city or state government, municipal bonds they're called, here you're lending to a company. So It basically works the same. Corporate bonds are in increments of $1,000. If you lend money, say, to Walmart for 10 years, $1,000, Walmart makes two promises to you. Rate of interest they'll pay you, say, 6%. I'm just making that up, 6% a year. And then at the end of 10 years, they'll pay you $60 a year interest on $1,000. So $600 total over 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, give you $1,000 back. Pretty easy. Corporate bonds pay the highest interest of any of the government bonds because one reason they're fully taxable. They're taxable at all levels. You pay federal income taxes. If you're in a state that has state income taxes, you got to pay state income taxes. You might have local income taxes, but fully taxable. And they're also considered higher risk than government bonds because governments have taxation abilities and other ways to bring in revenue. Now, bonds have ratings. I'll talk about those on an upcoming next couple of sessions. Whether you know, government bonds, corporate bonds, and there's three rating services: Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. We'll talk about those. They have different terminologies they use, but generally, AAA bonds are the safest, all the way down to AAA, AA, single A, down through to Bs, all the way down to single C, which is the highest risk. And then we have D, like David, which is D for default. All right, so here's the thing about bonds, particularly corporate bonds. One investor may say, I'll go with the safe AAA bonds. They pay less interest. Another, lender, they're called actually investors or stocks, but lender. A lender might say, look, I'll go with the double B rated bonds. I know they have higher risk, but they're going to pay higher rates of interest. See, that's a personal decision. All right. We'll talk more about how that stuff works the next couple of sessions. Just so you know what I am covering in the next few sessions. Next week, I think I'm going to talk about laddering, what's called laddering of bonds. Then on the session after that, I will talk about bond ratings. I also want to talk about be careful of what are called high yield, also called junk bonds. They look appealing, but it can be a lot of things. You got to be careful with those. Talk about that. Then I want to talk about how you invest in bonds. I've been talking about them, but how you specifically invest in them besides buying the bonds themselves. Okay, so after I finish with bonds, I'm going to do a few sessions on cryptocurrencies, and then I'm going to move on to mutual funds. All right, before we wrap up today, I want to talk about convertible bonds. We haven't seen much of these since the 1980s. I remember when they were all over the place, but they are making a return today with the higher interest rates. All right, here's how convertible bonds work. Say you have a mid-sized company, a technology company or something that's growing, but they're still high risk for any loans. You know, they may or may not be able to pay this money back. And their bond ratings, reflect that. Maybe it's a triple C rating they have or something. All right. So they have to pay, I'll just say, 18% a year interest on their borrowings. So they could issue a 10-year bond, pay, 18% interest is what they have to pay based on their bond rating. Okay, so you as a lender could purchase that bond. You lend the company $1,000. You get $180 a year interest over the next 10 years. You actually get $1,800 in interest total, and then $1,000 back. Okay, but the company may also offer this. They offer a second series of bonds that only pay 5% interest. Well, why would you as a lender buy a bond that pays 5% if the other one pays 18%? Because there's something else added to it. The company says with those 5% bonds, anytime you wish, you can convert into 20 shares of our stock. And I just made the number 20 up. It could be any amount. All right. Now, suddenly, this bond might have some appeal. So how does that work? All right. So if this $1,000 bond can be converted into 20 shares of that company's stock, that would be the equivalent of the stock being worth $50 a share. 50 times 20 is $1,000. So let's say you look on the market and the stock is currently selling for $21 a share. Well, you wouldn't want to convert the bond at this time. First of all, you're giving up the future interest because 20 shares of $21 a share is only $420. But let's say over the next 10 years, the company does really well and now their stock's at $100 a share. So when the bond matures, instead of getting your $1,000 back, you might decide to convert to the 20 shares of stock at $100 a piece, because that's worth $2,000. And then you could just sell the stock on the market or keep it or whatever you want to do. So that's how convertible bonds work. So the reason companies like to do this is by offering that option, they can get away with paying a lot less interest. And see, to a lender, it's like one lender may say, no, I don't want to worry about that. I just want the 18%. Another one might say, no, I'll take the 5% on the assumption this stock might go up over $50 a share and make it worth it to me to convert. If at the end of the maturity, after 10 years, if the stock is only selling at $40 a share, you don't want to convert there. It's only $800. Just let the bond mature, get the $1,000 back. See, well, companies did this a lot in the 80s when interest rates were high to pay less interest. The convertible bonds kind of disappeared for the most part in the 90s and 2000s because interest rates were so low anyway. Companies were like, why bother? But now that interest rates are going up again, we're starting to see convertible bonds make an appearance. So that's what convertible bonds are. I remember that when Intel issued those in the 80s and the stock skyrocketed, you had a lot of people made a lot of money. There were people buying Intel bonds for $1,000, getting the interest over the years, and then converting to the stock worth $3,000, $4,000 at the end. So that's how convertible bonds work. Okay, so we're going to wrap things up for today. Hope everyone's doing well. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bell, and I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.